Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I have been waiting a long, long crab cake tour to say this, but it's football season, Luke Jones. I got my Chicken Palooza shirt on a month too late. The Western fries are still there. Life is still good. Justin Tucker's still doing the coffee, but the difference this week is the games count. They're playing real football games. I'm getting on a plane to go to Las Vegas, Sin City, the Diamond in the Desert. Man, I used to watch those Tyson fights out there back in the day and think, man, one day I'll witness the Stanley Cup being hoisted here in Las Vegas. And one day my National Football League team, the Baltimore Bombers or something, will be playing some exhibition Las Vegas. I didn't think it'd be Ravens Raiders. You know, I start to think Ravens Raiders, I get Ghost to the Post. You got the 70 AFC championship game. You got the kickoff game here that we all celebrated. And you and I celebrated with Vinny Testaverde. Feels like a minute ago, but here we go again, right? Raiders, Ravens, not Baltimore, Oakland, not Baltimore, LA, not Indianapolis. No, just Baltimore versus Las Vegas. Weird, wild stuff, as Johnny Carson would say, Lucas.
There's no question about it, especially through knowing even recently NFL history. I mean, Roger Goodell talking about gambling and, you know, this notion of Las Vegas having a team was just, you just didn't think there was any way.
I think that blonde chick in the Masson commercials really wants me to start betting on baseball. This up at 52. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's strange in that way. And as you mentioned, I mean, Raiders, Ravens. I mean, we just celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Ravens playing the very first game in Baltimore, Memorial Stadium. Billy Joe Hobert throwing the pick to Ray Lewis in the end zone. And
Black slacks.
But even then, you know, that was the Raiders. You know, they had just moved back to Oakland. You know, I mean, I knew the Raiders as the LA Raiders growing up as a kid. So it's definitely strange in that way. But hey, time to kick off the season. And if you're the Ravens, especially with the news now, Justice Hill torn Achilles tendon. So their backfield, not that I thought Justice Hill was necessarily going to have a huge role, but he had a chance to fill some of that J.K. Dobbins void, at least.
Why don't Mitchell available, now, man? Can we get Don McCauley back for a couple of snaps?
How about Jamal Lewis? I mean, it's just more than anything else. One, you like the fact that the season's finally here just because, hey, it's the season and we joke about fake football. But, I mean, the attrition the Ravens have already dealt with, and losing Dobbins, that's the huge one. We know they lost L.J. Fort. Again, I'm not saying Justice Hill was going to have a massive role, but
happened there, by the way? I mean, I love the WNST tech service brought to you by Coons Ford, and Dennis will be here on Thursday and on Sunday. You're getting you ready for the game, but, man, I get it. And like, you know, it's nice that Mark Andrews got paid and all, but every time I get it, my wife looks at me. She's like, who got hurt this time? I swear to God, that's what she said. We were driving over to Costas to get some crabs. She's like, who got hurt this time? And I'm like, oh, man. You know, and this is tis the season, right? I mean, what happened?
Well, I mean, Justice Hill, keep in mind, he had hurt the ankle in the preseason opener against New Orleans at that point in time that they had J.K. Dobbins. You know, you thought, okay, Justice Hill, we think he's going to be the number three running back. And then Tyson Williams, who now is number two, and they don't, you know, I mean, they're going to sign a running back this week, and we know they've worked out Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, Elijah Holyfield. So they'll have a third guy because they're going to need a third guy. But I mean, Justice Hill, the injury, and with Tyson Williams having the nice summer that he had, you know, there was a thought that his roster spot might be in jeopardy. Well, of course, you lose J.K. Dobbins in the preseason finale. That conversation comes to an end, at least temporarily. We knew the Ravens would be looking for reinforcements, at least signing a running back or two to the practice squad. But Justice Hill, who, as I mentioned, just got back to practice because of the ankle, it was Thursday. Keep in mind, the Ravens practiced Monday through Thursday, and then Harbaugh gave the team off Friday through Sunday, kind of that mini bye because you don't have that fourth preseason game anymore. He was out on the field Thursday during the media viewing portion. And then the horn sounds and they take us away and you're left to wonder what happens over the rest of practice. You know, the Ravens were able to keep it quiet over the weekend. And then Monday, as they're back on the practice field, Harbaugh spoke to the media before practice, so no one knew anything was amiss at that point in time, but you noticed Justice Hill not out there. And then, of course, the news comes later Monday afternoon that he suffered an Achilles tendon tear last Thursday. So, you know, Justice Hill, special teams contributor, I think that was going to be his biggest role, first and foremost, as the number three running back and kind of jockeying with Tyson Williams for carries and opportunities. But a guy who I thought at least fit the profile of what J.K. Dobbins gives them in terms of some of the perimeter runs, in terms of having a chance to maybe contribute some receiving ability out of the backfield, and also a guy who hasn't played a whole lot but was known for being decent in pass protection. And we know that's an underrated part of the position. So, you know, I thought, I mean, Gus Edwards is the guy now. We know that. But you thought Williams and Hill, maybe that would morph into some kind of a 2 and 2A, and you see who plays better. I mean, that's how these things work, right? When you're leaning on young, unproven guys.
They've always had late round running backs and stuff. I mean, I think about Buck Allen recent, just, you know, those kinds of players that you're trying to find that Priest Holmes, you're trying to find that Terrell Davis.
Gus Edwards, right.
Yeah. Fair enough. But,
yeah.
but the more of those bodies you have, the better. And obviously the loss of Dobbins is just, we'll be talking about it all year long, and whatever they do on Monday, it's going to be like he never existed, right? I mean, they're going to play and play on. But I think we'll look back at these injuries and look back at August. And I know, you know, I had Peter King on this week. I talked to John Eisenberg this week. There's been nothing about this that's been ideal in regard to getting ready to play football Monday night for the offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to disagree with you on that, Nestor. I mean, you look, start with Lamar Jackson missing the first 10 days. If that's all it is, and he's missing the first 10 days of training camp, you know, vaccination conversation aside, that's okay, right? I mean, late July and early August, if you have everyone out on the field by the second week of August and everyone's playing and everyone's healthy, but it's just been one thing after another. I mean, we knew the offensive line with Ronnie Stanley. We knew he wasn't going to be full strength at the very start of camp. So that wasn't unexpected. But then Kevin Zeitler misses time with the foot sprain.
You knew Boyle wasn't going to be right.
Yeah,
you're Boyle, already missing pieces, right?
Right. And they just haven't had a lot of time to stack days. I mean, Harbaugh was asked about Marquise Brown on Monday and the fact that, you know, he's back on the field practicing. He's looked good. You know, nothing there to be concerned about physically at this point.
Yeah, if they're going to win on Monday night, he better catch six balls and, like, you know, be a difference maker if we're going to have a passing offense on Monday night.
Well, and it's going to be what he did late last year. Remember, I mean, in the middle of the season, he struggled so much, but he played his butt off late in the season, and we saw what he did in that Titans playoff game. And, you know, he was one of the few bright spots of the Buffalo game, you know, the playoff loss. But, you know, the point that I was trying to make, though, when Harbaugh was asked about Marquise Brown, you don't get those days back in the summer. And that's not to say you can't overcome it. This is not to say the Ravens' Super Bowl hopes end with the fact that J.K. Dobbins goes down. I don't put this quite at the same magnitude of losing Ronnie Stanley midway through last season and the trickle down effect, you know, the domino effect that had on their offensive line, but it hurts and it's upside. And with each of these injuries, I don't care how good your depth is. I said this, you know, what was it, 5-6 years ago, the year that, you know, the injuries just piled up like crazy and you lose Suggs, you lose Flacco, you lose Steve Smith. I said, next man up's a great t-shirt slogan and a great rallying cry until you get to the point where all it is a t-shirt slogan because there's no one left. And I mean, they're not at that point by any means, but with what they've dealt with on the offensive line, you mentioned Nick Boyle, who you might as well say is part of their offensive line, and then wide receiver. I mean, Brown misses almost all of training camp. Sammy Watkins misses about 2 weeks, which, hey, we kind of knew that going in. When you bring him in, there's a possibility of that being an issue. And then, of course, Rashad Bateman, who represented in the same way J.K. Dobbins, what he did last year and what they were expecting him to do this year. These are upside guys. These are guys that raise your ceiling. Let's face it. The Ravens have won 25 games the last 2 years. It's a really high floor that they have going with this offense. And say what you want about Lamar Jackson as a passer or what Greg Roman does as a play caller. They've won a lot of football games and they've been really successful with it. But we know it's about January, right? It's about taking that next step. And guys like Dobbins, not just as a runner, but as a receiver out of the backfield, they were working on a lot of that kind of stuff with him. And then Bateman, who's your first round pick, you're looking at those guys to be major difference makers for you. And Dobbins is not in play now, of course. And Bateman, well, I'm not going to write him off for later in the season. He's not going to be out there, we know, at least the first 3 weeks. And even after that, you activate him off IR. How long is it going to take him to really get acclimated? Because going back to the beginning, most of his time on the practice field this summer was before Lamar Jackson was back on the practice field.
Well, storyline is how they get better from where they were in Buffalo,
right?
Not where they were in the middle of last year, that mess in Philadelphia, when, you know, just the middle of the year last year was not them at they're not going to win a lot of games like that. They're certainly not going to win a Super Bowl like that. But when they're firing on all cylinders and they've got this thing put together, my concern is that it's not together at all. Yeah. And driving the car without any – look, it's one thing to say we had Ronnie Stanley for 6 weeks or seven, however long it was last year before he got hurt. Whenever it was that he got injured, you'd say, well, at least we got this out of it. When you start taking these guys out at the beginning, and it's not to say that Bateman won't be a contributor in week 9 or 11 or 15. Maybe he will be, and they'll need him to be, right? But when you start losing these guys early in the year, like Tavon Young a couple years ago, get nothing. You don't get a play out of them. 11 spots on the field. You're going to, you know, run whatever 40, 60 plays, whatever it's going to be in any given week. Who's on the field? How many pitchers are you getting out of the pitchers? How many at bats are you getting out of the hitters? Right. And with Dobbins, it's a zero. Obviously with Bateman Monday, it's a zero. So when you start taking these snaps away, then you're saying, who's getting these snaps? Who's running the ball? And I'm going to tell you, I think Lamar's going to run the ball more. And I think that's Lamar's nature. I think that's the offense. I think that's the offensive line not being trustworthy. Maybe that's the wrong word, or not trusted fully is where we would be. I think when the menorah hits the fan, if it's the third quarter and the Ravens are losing 21-17 or whatever, Lamar will become the running back. And I think that he's still their number one weapon. And I think that they'll resort to that. And I just believe that. I think that's the crutch. That's what you go back to. And that's what they know. And that's what's gotten them the 25 victories. I just feel like the notion that Lamar is going to have 5, 6, 7 rushes, I don't think this year that I don't think that's going to be the way they're going to do it if they're going to be successful.
And you might be right on that. And I think there's certainly merit to that argument. I mean, maybe before, if you have a healthy Dobbins and you have Gus Edwards, who, you know, let's not forget about Gus Edwards. Guys averaged over 5 yards per carry each of his first 3 seasons. Gus Edwards can be a starting caliber running back. I mean, that's never been in question. He just hasn't been that for them. But yeah, I think there was something, especially with the O-line, especially with wide receiver, and not having Nick Boyle. And this is something I even had a conversation with some friends before the preseason finale when Dobbins gets hurt, where I kind of said, you know what, especially early in the season, you could see them leaning into Dobbins a little bit more, leaning into Gus Edwards a little bit more as they're trying to get their passing game calibrated, right? I mean, because of all this uncertainty and all these absences.
Hey, I keep going back to this. When the running game's going well, I don't care much about the calibration of the passing game.
Well, in the big picture, you want it to, but yeah.
Lamar right, Gus left, Dobbins right, 1st and 10, 2nd and 1, swing pass to, I mean, Andrews, we've seen this, right?
Sure.
But it really does take more than Gus Edwards. I agree with you. I just don't think you give the ball to Gus Edwards 32 times and laugh and run home. I don't think that's going to work that way.
Well, and I mean, this goes back to, and you and I have had this debate, and at times we've argued about it, you know, all in good fun, but you know, unless you're talking about a 30-year-old Lamar Jackson, who is clearly not as fast as he was at age 22, that's good. He's going to run. I mean, that's a big, why wouldn't you want him to, from the standpoint of that's what truly makes him historic and special and dynamic. And they won a lot of football games with that. Now, that doesn't mean you want him doing that 23 times a game. When we think back to what his first start, and Marty Morningwig, you know, kind of famously said that they kind of lost track of it because they were just kind of enamored with it. But yeah, with where they stand right now and just how little practice time their entire offense has had, and knowing that the focus of this offseason was improving the passing game, which, look, if we're going to be talking about January, and we're not talking about January, we're talking about September 13th against the Las Vegas Raiders. You got to win that game, right?
You got to win games Monday. That's it, right?
Yeah. And you figure things out as you go. Right. And you figure things out. And yeah, I mean, you look at that one and now you look at that and you're just kind of wondering, but the Raiders are game one. You figure it out. And look, I'll remind everyone, this team midway through the 2018 season, let's go back. Joe Flacco's hurt during the bye week and the Ravens are 4-5 and it's looking like John Harbaugh is going to be fired at the end of the year. And their running game was awful. I think they were 28th, 29th in the league, something like that. And Lamar Jackson steps on the field as the starter for the first time. And immediately they have the best rushing attack in the NFL. So J.K. Dobbins was still at Ohio State then. So that shows that, you know, their entire running game is not predicated on J.K. Dobbins being out there. But again, upside, wanting to have as much diversity as you can in your offense and knowing what Dobbins could do that maybe Gus Edwards can't do, or what you don't want Lamar Jackson doing too much over the course of a 17-game schedule, that upside does hurt. But, I mean, Gus Edwards is going to run the football. You're going to see Lamar run the football. And they're going to lean on, their $56 million tight end that they just struck a contract extension with, because we know we can talk all we want about passes outside the numbers and wide receivers. Lamar Jackson to Mark Andrews has worked very, very well in the passing game over the middle. And that's going to be a big part. It was going to be a big part of it even before the Dobbins injury and before these injuries with the wide receivers missing time during training camp. So, I think they're going to have to lean a little more on their bread and butter. And as you pointed out, yes, Lamar Jackson running the football has been a huge part of that over the last few years. And while you'd like to, as time goes on, pull back on that a little bit here and there, mainly because you want to keep him healthy and long-term, he's not going to have that same blinding speed for the next decade, but you want
that. He has it Monday night and you better use it.
Yeah. Right? And they will. Yeah. Right. And believe me, I still have the utmost confidence that they can go to Las Vegas and win. And keep in mind that Raiders defense was woeful last year. I mean, this was a team that, was in it, but they couldn't stop anybody. And that ultimately cost them. And, that was a team that, was in the wild card race late in the season. But, you can't stop anyone. You're going to wind up 8-8 like they did. So, I think this Raiders team, while, yes, they played the Ravens, a couple years ago. And certainly, they're going to be, when you're talking about your week one opponent, they're studying Lamar Jackson. They're studying this offense. But that's a different ball game than actually being on the field going up against it. So, it hurts. It really hurts to lose J.K. Dobbins. There's no question. And it hurts that they've missed out on all this practice time, because it's easy to say, well, last year they didn't have a preseason and they had a truncated version of training camp. Well, but everyone was on the same footing last year with that. And we still saw the inequities of, like, look at what the Browns look like in week one compared to the Ravens. The Browns had a new head coach and a new OC and lots of moving parts, whereas the Ravens had a lot of stability. The Ravens beat the pants out of them week one. And we know those two teams ended up being, fairly evenly matched by the end of the season in terms of, what they accomplished. So, that's not to make any excuses for the Ravens. It's where they are right now. And, there are other teams in this league who didn't have their quarterback for a chunk of the preseason. I mean, look at the Colts with Carson Wentz with his foot and then him missing time on the COVID list even. So, every team's dealing
with another idiot quarterback, by the way. People thought I singled out Lamar. No. They're all idiots. It's fine.
There's a few. Yeah, sure. But all these teams are going through adversity, but it's just been so concentrated on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens. That's where you look at it and say, well, on the flip side, their defense was quite healthy over the course of the summer. LJ Fort injury notwithstanding, but the Ravens were planning to hand the keys over to Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison as the starters anyway. So that hurts, but hey, you even add Josh Bynes to the practice squad. So you've got a reinforcement there with some experience if you need it. So that's where you feel really good about this team right now. Not that I think the offense is going to be a disaster or anything like that. There's not even close, but if they are going to have some growing pains, specifically with the passing attack and their offensive line needing to gel, and some guys missing some time there, and guys like Ronnie Stanley coming back and trying to get back to full strength. On the flip side, feel like their defense should come out and play at a very high level. And you know, there's questions within that, within that structure. What's Justin Houston at age 32? What's Odafe Owe going to do as a rookie? What's Dalen Hayes going to do as a rookie? What does Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell look, you know, how do they look being another year older? So you always have those questions, but I think the sum of the parts, you feel really good about that. And they've had far less of that disruption compared to what the offense has dealt with over the course of the summer.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke out on the social media thing. We got a huge week here. First off, we get the extra day on Monday. Dennis will be here on Thursday and on Sunday. Of course, Bruce will be doing his postgame thing on Tuesday morning. Rod Woodson's going to join us this week. Amy Trask is going to join us. My dear friend, JT the Brick. I'm going to be on his show out in Vegas. He's going to join me as well. John Zeman, Baltimore Colts. And Ravens, ringleader of all things, music and musical bands, and the loss of Ed Asner last week leads me to get John Zeman. Jason Cole's going to be on. My pal Julio Mermejo is going to be on, pouring some margaritas to honor the Raiders moving to Las Vegas from his homeland in the Bay Area. So we got a chunky week here. If you missed out on Larry Hogan last week, you can check that out at Baltimore Positive. This Friday, we're kicking off the local Maryland Crab Cake Tour at the Chaucer. Funny to say, easy to spell, Chasseur. It's at Foster and Highland Avenue. We're going to be joined by Heidi Daniel from the Enoch Pratt Free Library. We're going to talk about Frank Zappa. We're going to talk about the Patterson Creative Arts. Pete Carinci said he's going to send the Matthews Pizza people up. So my dear friend Brian Eater and our friends at the Chaucer are going to be having a crab cake over there and a beer and apparently some game day vodka as well. Luke, last thing for this segment, because we'll get on to the defense. We'll get on to the Raiders. And again, I'm going out to Vegas talking to lots of folks about what the Raiders represent here. Who's going to catch the ball? I mean, that's my question. I think that would be a fan's question to say, who's going to catch the ball Monday night?
Well, I mean, I think you look no further than the guy that you just made the third highest paid tight end in the NFL, Mark Andrews. I mean, he has been out there. Marquise Brown has not been out there. Marquise Brown's going to be out on the field, but meaning he hasn't been out there over the course of the summer. And knowing you're trying to, not that Lamar Jackson didn't have chemistry with Marquise Brown before, but when you're talking about a guy who's missed a month, you know, that matters. You know, that matters. I mean, you want him out there. But I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Mark Andrews. I do think because of the chemistry they do have with Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson, I vividly remember talking about week one 2 years ago. And keep in mind, Marquise Brown had missed most of the summer with the foot, you know, the Liz Frank injury that he had at Oklahoma that ended his college career. And there was so much talk, and I was as guilty of this as anyone, is saying, got to temper the expectations for Marquise Brown. I mean, this guy got a little bit of time in the last preseason game and only a couple weeks to practice. And what does he do? He caught two touchdowns and had over 100 yards and, you know, a Ravens rookie record as far as, you know, a debut and did all those things. So I'm not going to write off Marquise Brown in that sense whatsoever, but it's Mark Andrews. I mean, we know who that's going to be. Sammy Watkins, I think, is going to be interesting in the sense that he didn't suffer a serious, from my understanding, an ankle is what he was dealing with. They were very hush hush with that, but you know, he missed a couple weeks, but he had a nice camp, and he and Lamar Jackson had shown some chemistry, so he's going to be on the field.
Well, he's a special guy. I mean, you mentioned all the rest of these guys the Ravens would have traded up in the draft for 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, he's a special guy who hasn't been special. Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
when
who
healthy.
Hasn't been special.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, the problem is, at what point do the injuries take the toll where that guy is no longer special? And
he just needs to be special Monday.
Well, sure. So you have them. I think the interesting name, and I think he's very easy to root for because of the summer that he had and the fact that he was a sixth round pick a year ago and, you know, was basically a non-factor offensively and even lost his punt return job. Now, I'll be interested to see how James Prochet fits in, because you look at all these other wide receivers that missed so much practice time. He was out there. I mean, I think he missed I think he missed a day at one point. You know, he missed one practice, but he was the star of camp in terms of those wide, that second tier of wide receivers who were getting all these reps, and he took advantage of it. Now, I don't know for sure that what he does on the backfields and Owings Mills against second and third team corners and safeties is going to translate against the Las Vegas. I almost said LA Raiders, which is just hilarious. The Las Vegas Raiders defense.
I'm still saying Redskins, dude.
I know, right?
I mean, it's gonna
LA happen. Is bad though. I mean, LA was a long time ago. But
getting on a plane and flying to Las Vegas for a football game, it's just weird.
Everything's weird about
it. It's really weird, man. Right. I'm 53 years old. It's not normal.
But to me, Prochet is, I don't know if I'd say wild card as much as a sleeper in the sense of, hey, he was on the field a whole lot. He got a ton of reps with Lamar. He took advantage of it. He made plays when other guys were in the cold tub getting treatment. So, you know, that's not to say I'm going to predict a James Prochet 6 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown kind of line. But if he's out there,
he's on loose
getting
players
some time,
to watch is what he is.
I mean, I'd keep an eye on him at least. You know, and who knows? Week 3, we could go back and listen to this and, well, Luke bought into the summer hype a little bit too much. And
I got happened. The Bobby Rainey tapes.
Yeah, you know, it happens. And hey, I say it all the time. I'm wrong a lot, and I'll be wrong a lot moving forward. I mean, that's just the way it is. If I was right that much, I'd be sitting in Eric DaCosta's seat, and I'm not. So, but he's kind of that sleeper guy out of that group. But, yeah, I mean, Mark Andrews is always a focal point. Marquise Brown has been a focal point. That's not going to change. Watkins, you know, is going to be out there. I think it's a question of how effective, what kind of chemistry does he have with Lamar
Jackson. Dude, I'm just trying to figure what numbers they're wearing, honestly, man.
But,
you know, guy lining up middle linebacker with single digits, it's weird, man.
Well, Marquise Brown wearing Joe Flacco's old number, remember that? So, yeah, it's definitely strange. And I even had forgotten that because, he'd been out since the second day of training camp. So
Jet 5, baby, let's go.
Yeah, no question. So, but, hey, it's going to be a heavy dose of the running game. Still, we know that, and I'm not convinced the Las Vegas Raiders are going to stop. So from that standpoint, you know, what we were talking about a few minutes ago, lots of Gus Edwards, and yeah, I think we're going to see lots of Lamar Jackson.
See, you're predicting a fun night for me Monday night. You're predicting happy talking to post game you and
I mean, let's right.
I might even take my mask off and break rule.
I mean, let's put it this way. Yes, there are questions about the Ravens, and people can talk what they want about Kansas City and Buffalo. And look, hey, those two teams have bragging rights to say they're better than the Ravens until the Ravens prove otherwise. You know, you can debate Cleveland, and I know you talked to Peter King recently, and he picked the Browns over the Ravens in the division and kind of talked about Dobbins being the tipping point there. And look, that's fair. At the same time, as much as we're talking about Ravens issues here or concerns or needing to get over that divisional round hump, then you look at someone like the Las Vegas Raiders. They're 8-8 last year. John Gruden got this crazy contract a few years back. Mike Mayock comes in from NFL Network and is running the team. They've got to win. They've got to make, I mean, that's a team that needs to be a playoff team, or at some point in time, it's like, what are you doing? You're in a new city and
well, the Chargers are going to pass them by, right? Like this kid can play, right?
I mean, Herbert? I mean, he showed he could play last year. I mean, you know, you talk about Derek Carr and, I mean, where the Raiders are, like, there is a team that's feeling pressure. I mean, the Ravens, it's relative, right? It's pressure that is because they're victims of their own success. The Raiders are a team that is just in that NFL purgatory territory where, you know, you're 8-8. Well, great. You don't have a great draft pick and you're not in the playoffs. So what does that get you? It's the worst place to be. So there's a team that's feeling pressure. There's a team that, and I'm not saying I'm predicting big things for them at all, but that's a fan base that's going to expect big things. I mean, one thing I think you would say when you talk about transient areas and areas that depend on tourism. And I mean, you look at Las Vegas. I mean, we've already seen the prices for, you know, flights and tickets for all their games this year with them having fans after not having fans last year with the pandemic. But I'll say this, I'm not so sure that city's going to be incredibly patient if the Raiders go out and have they're 7-10. At some point in time, even John Gruden's not going to survive that. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat and going to be the first coach fired this year, but the heat's on those guys. I think it has to be. So there's a team that's feeling some pressure, and that's where I would say, and I talked about this a little bit last week with Dennis, that I would think with the Ravens going to Las Vegas, playing a Monday night road game, that fan base is going to be so jacked up for their first game with fans in the stands and a primetime game. And it's the Raiders and all of that, and having a whole off season and preseason to prepare for week one, this Ravens offense that's so unique. We know it's kind of that Navy or Army effect that college teams know you're not going to play anyone that's like them the rest of the year. The Ravens have to be ready and expecting to get the absolute best from the Raiders on Monday night. I'll say that much. I'll do my predictions, my official score prediction and all that at BaltimorePositive.com later in the week as we get closer to Monday night. But I expect the Ravens to win this football game, but they need to go out and play good football because I think the Raiders, there's some urgency there. Like I said, they finished 8-8. They were in the playoff hunt late in the season. They couldn't stop anybody. I mean, their defense was terrible. And you know, is Yannick Ngakoue going to be that difference maker for them? Well, he wasn't a difference maker for the Ravens. So now it's a different defense and Ngakoue is a good player. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's go time for them, Derek Carr is not a rookie. I mean, this guy's been around a long time. So if you're not going to get there with him, like, what are you doing? You're just spinning your wheels. So that's where the Raiders are right now. So, you know, we could talk what we want about the concerns that the Ravens have and some of their challenges, but a team like the Raiders, that's real heat there. That's real pressure. That is definitely, you're talking about warm seats for the decision makers in that organization, because they need to be a new city, new franchise, you know, not new franchises, but a franchise in a new city. And Mark Davis is not the most patient guy in the world necessarily. So I think the pressure's on them to to go out and get results. And boy, it would be big for that team, for that fan base to take care of the Ravens in week one. But Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh and company are going to have something to say about that before, 11:30 midnight on Monday night.
Well, it's supposed to be 106 when I
thank goodness for the dome. So
you talk about the heat being turned up on the Las Vegas Raiders. Chucky will be in the house. Ravens are headed out. I don't know what Lamar's vaccination situation as far as getting him into the building on Monday night. We'll be looking into that all week long. Lots of football here this week. Lots of things up Baltimore Positive. We've got about 80 crab cake tour videos up on our YouTube channel as well. Make sure you're checking all that out, including one with our friends at Planet Fitness out in Cumberland, having some fun with some Steelers fans out there. I'm going to be inviting all these people back onto the program. So if you missed any of these restaurateurs or great people making great crab cakes or telling great stories, we'll be catching all of them in the coming weeks. But for now, it's all things Vegas and Raiders because it's football season. We're excited about that. Find Luke at Baltimore Luke. Out on social media, you can find me anywhere the social media thing takes you, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Twitter, wherever you happen to be. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.